Welcome to The Clinical Entrepreneur, a business podcast that's dedicated to healthcare practitioners just like you who are hustling every day to build a business and a life you're proud of. Join me, Rhonda Nelson, as I share my own experiences and extract actionable advice from industry experts about what it takes to build and scale a profitable wellness practice. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Clinical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Rhonda Nelson. I've got something I want to talk to you about today that I think is especially important, but we often don't look at this as being a relevant thing that we need to include as part of our, really, it's part of your marketing, but it's called a patient satisfaction score, or in other words, other ways that people will refer to it as a net promoter score, but we're going to call it a patient satisfaction score. And so let me tell you what this is. You know, have you ever been on a big website and at the end it says, you know, how was your experience, right? How was your experience? And sometimes it's a thumbs up, thumbs down. Sometimes you get 5 stars and you get to choose which star you want to, you know, rate the experience as. And that's some version of kind of the same thing, but we're not, you know, in that tech space. We don't have thousands of dollars to develop these fancy landing pages and things that have all these, you know, ways you can score. And besides that, your patients are really interacting with you most likely on a one-on-one basis. They're not interacting with you as a corporation every single day. Now, yes, they're interacting with your front desk staff or when they come into your office, if you have a physical office, or if you're a virtual practice, how are they interacting with you as far as scheduling and that kind of thing? All of those bits of information can collectively provide us, the CEO, the leader, the boss or the owner of the business, right? It can collectively provide us with information that lets us know how good we're doing. It's a bit of a report card, really. And so what happens, I found, is that often when I have, well, let me back up and give you a little backstory. So when I first learned about this, I thought, oh, this is not for me. Why would I care? Of course, my patients are happy. Of course, they're working with me. I mean, I'm a good clinician. I know my stuff. Of course, they're happy and it's all fine. And I didn't really think much about it until one day when my receptionist at the time, Marcy, when she got a phone call and this patient was really upset and they were very upset because they weren't able to get in when they needed to. They didn't feel like we called back on time and they just kind of let it rip. And we've all had patients like that. But when that came through, I was like, oh, what? Like what? We're doing the best, like we're doing a great job. But sometimes you can't see your own blind spots. You don't see your blind spots. You don't see where you're dropping the ball. And the patient is probably not going to tell you until enough things happen and one of two things will happen. They'll either go away and you'll never know, or like this lady, they'll call you and they'll just rip you a new one. And sometimes that happens too. So that's sort of what happened to us. But then it got me thinking, what about all those people that just went away? Why did they go away? Was it something that I did? Were they not happy with my care? Or was it more than that? Was it that the convenience of scheduling, or they didn't like the fact that they had to call us to order their products? Or I don't know. I thought, well, the best way for me to do is to just ask them. And then comes the next dilemma. Like, I'm scared. I don't want to ask them because I don't want to know what they say. Could someone else ask, please? Like, I don't want to do this. And that was real for me. Like I had to kind of get over myself. And I thought, okay, I'm scared to ask because I'm afraid of what they're going to tell me. But if I turned that conversation around and I said, hey, wait a minute, what if I ask with the intention of getting information that can help me make it better? And I don't take it personal because I was making it about me. I don't want to hear the rejection, or I don't want to hear that I'm not doing a good job because I'm over here trying, you know, that whole thing. Who's that about? Me. It's about me. It's about you. We don't call. We don't ask them. We don't put together some kind of ability for them to just give us feedback because we make it about us. We don't want to hear the information. As soon as I turned the way that I was thinking about it, I started thinking, oh, well, this would be great. Like, how can we make this even better? I'm going to find out where we can make it better. It completely changed it. So either way, regardless of whether you call them or you get actually put a survey together, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, I want to encourage you to think about getting a patient satisfaction score. And the way that you do that is by creating a patient satisfaction survey, right? Pretty simple, straight, and clear. So now let me go through. I've got some notes I'm going to refer to here because I want to make sure I don't miss anything. So when you create a patient satisfaction survey, there are a few things that I want, a few tips I want to give you. Number one, you want to identify ahead of time the problems or the issues or the areas that you think might need additional help. Okay. These are things that you think, yeah, I kind of don't think our scheduling program is working very good. Okay. So then we're going to create a question around the schedule. We're going to ask the question around that. You might think that your front office person is the person who's answering the phone, maybe is maybe a little rude or not doing the best job, like providing that, you know, assistance and support for your patients. Then ask questions around that. If you are wondering if it's your availability, like schedule availability, or if it's returning phone calls, or if it's follow-up, or whatever it might be, you take a good look in your practice. And if you were an outside person looking in, what things would you think might have an issue? Like, well, we need a little tune-up on that one. So that's number one. Number two, when you do decide what kinds of questions you're going to ask, you want to be very specific. We do not want yes or no questions. There's only one yes or no question, which I'll get to in a minute. But the rest of them, all you're going to do is leave it a little bit of not even really an open-ended question, but kind of where we're going to say, okay, let's see, like for instance, I might say ease of scheduling appointments. Okay. You're going to rate that on a 1 to 5. It's not a yes or no question. Just I'm making a statement. Please answer the following, you know, statements. Ease of scheduling appointments. And you give them a 1 to 5. And they can rate a 1 to 5. Now you can create these surveys. Don't let your tech mind get all ahead of me and go, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to tell you, just hang on. Just sit with me here. You're going to give them those kinds of questions like cleanliness of the office, staff professionalism. You're basically making a statement and then letting them give you a rating. That's all. We don't want to say, how satisfied are you with our scheduling appointments and appointment availability? Because there's two things in that sentence. Number one, and they may feel one thing about the first part and another thing about the second part. So we don't want to do that. And we could, or say something like, are you satisfied with our office? And give them a 1 to 5. That doesn't mean anything. It's how satisfied, you know, how happy are you? Or you just create the statement. So let me give you, these are my top questions. I'm going to rattle them off for you, but you can, so if you have a pen and paper and you, if you don't, hit the pause button, go get it and then come back. But here are my top questions. Number one, you want to say, you want to always give them options, right? Easy, lots of things, but these are the things you want to focus on if there are areas of problem that you think in your office, but your options are 1 to 5. Don't make it yes or no, anything else, 1 to 5. Easy to schedule appointments. That's one. Return calls in a timely manner. That can really indicate what's going on at your front desk. Wait time to see Dr. Smith or Susan or whatever the practitioner's name is, whatever your name is. Wait time to see. Cleanliness of the office. Staff professionalism. I mentioned that. Knowledge of the staff. You don't want front desk people that are saying, well, I don't know, and I'll get back to you. Like, we don't know that they know their stuff. So knowledge of the staff, convenience of payment, convenient appointment times, practitioner professionalism. Ooh, this one could be an owie if you aren't doing your thing and people are perceiving you to have bad breath or you're coming in and looking sloppy or you have food on your, like, I hope you're not doing any of those things, but you know, it could be. So practitioner professionalism is one, communication by the staff, quality of care, and then overall experience. So overall experience should always be your last question or your last point of rating, right? And all of these can be 1 through 5. So I know that was a list. Go back, listen again, write them all down. But when you're all done, and I wouldn't ask all of those were like, I don't know, 10, 8 questions, 8 statements. I wouldn't ask all of them. Just pick the ones that you think might be an issue in your office. And I would say, leave it to 4, no more than 5. 4 or 5 questions that you know you want information about. Then the next question is, you're going to just leave a comment box. And that comment box is so that they can fill in any information. So they may say, like, you have professionalism of the staff, let's say, and they may want to tell you about an experience. Sometimes people just want to be heard. In fact, that happens a lot. They just want to be heard. So don't discount the fact that they may have something they want to say to you. So always make sure in your survey that you leave a comment box where they can fill in and tell you about their story, about what happened, and Mary said this, and I felt this. And they really do want to tell you. They want to know that you understand them. So leave a comment box. And then lastly, this is the killer question right here. This is the last question on every survey every time. This is the one that gives you the actual score. Okay, this is the one that's the scoring question. The rest of them just give you feedback. Okay, they give you feedback about how good you're doing. Basically, what areas do you need to tighten up? This one is the killer question, and it is. It's always the same question. How likely are you to refer your family and friends to this practice? Or how likely are you to refer your family and friends to our practice or to see Dr. So-and-so? You can language that last part better, a little differently if you want to, but how likely are you to refer your friends and family? That's the thing. And that's where you're going to give them a 1 to 5. And if you get 4s and 5s, you're at like 80, 90%. You are a rock star, my friend. But if you're dropping down and you're getting 2s and 3s on that, you have some work to do. And it's not about you. It's just the blind spots, the things that you can't see. And these surveys can be so incredibly helpful. If you pepper them with 10 different questions or statements that you're asking them to rate you, people are just like, all of us are overwhelmed. Like, I can't do it. So just 4 or 5, leave a comment box. And then ask the how likely are you question at the very end. And that, my friend, is a patient survey. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, this is great. I have all this information now. And she rattled it off so fast. I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do next? Okay, I'm going to tell you. You ready? Now, because they're giving information about your practice, I always like to make sure that these kinds of surveys are HIPAA compliant. I don't want anybody coming back and saying, you know, that they weren't, So you want to make sure that it's HIPAA compliant. So I'm giving you a few options to investigate for yourself, and I'll give you my recommendation for the easiest one. Well, they're all really pretty easy. The first one is one that you've probably all heard about. So this is the platform that you would use to build your survey, and it's called SurveyMonkey. And they do have a HIPAA compliant version. Okay. So you can do that. That's number one. The second one is SurveySparrow. Now they are very highly rated in the survey world. SurveySparrow. The third one is Typeform. We use Typeform a lot, but I don't know that it's HIPAA compliant, but I'm not using it for patient interactions. I'm using it for questions that I'm in, things I'm doing with you, the practitioner. So I use Typeform. I'm not sure they have a HIPAA compliant version. We don't use it. We don't need it. So SurveyMonkey and SurveySparrow, those are going to be your big companies that have big flat platforms that you can probably just go in and plug and play and get your survey done. But there's an easier way that you can do it. It's called Google. Now, Google may not be your favorite friend, but the tools are good. So there's a certain tool that you can use inside the Google suite of products, and it's actually called G Suite. G Suite for Google Suite. G Suite. G Suite is HIPAA compliant. So you can use G Suite. You can use their meetings for your telemeetings, you know, with patients. You can use their cert. You can create a survey inside Google Docs. But you're basically, if you think about the Google suite of products like Google Docs and Google Sheets and et cetera, you can use inside G Suite. It's all HIPAA compliant. It's all protected. That's my recommendation. It's pretty inexpensive, but compare for yourself and make your own decision. So SurveyMonkey and SurveySparrow are probably going to be easier to do. They're going to be tech on the tech side a little easier. G Suite isn't hard, but it's likely the least expensive option. So I say likely because this podcast is going to go on into infinity. And I don't want to say for sure right now because prices may change. So go do your research. So the three I would recommend: SurveyMonkey, SurveySparrow, like the birdie, Survey Sparrow, and then take a look at G Suite. I know for a fact that all of those have HIPAA compliant options. G Suite is HIPAA compliant in and of itself. So you can do it via a survey, and that's what I recommend. There are some people who like to do it in the office, and I don't like to do it that way. And here's why. If you have a virtual practice, clearly that's not going to work. But if you have someone in office and they're filling out a paper survey, they are often afraid if they're providing feedback that someone's going to know it was them, right? Somebody's going to know it was them. I don't ask for name, phone number on, I don't ask for their name. I want them to provide it anonymously. And some of our surveys that we've done in the past, we've asked if they'd like to leave their name and it's optional. And usually the people that leave really bad feedback are, they don't want to know. They don't want you to know. And it's sad because I think, well, I'd really like you to call me to try and make it right. But people don't often leave their names. They'll leave their names if it's really great feedback. They're like, oh, I love you so much and I'll refer you forever. So and that's that call is on you if you want to do that. But when you ask them to do it in the office, you've kind of taken away their ability to be anonymous. Because if they fill it out and then they have to give it back to the receptionist, clearly the receptionist knows who gave it to them. So I really love the survey option. I think you can do it. You can do it anonymously. And I think patients will really appreciate it. And they'll give you honest feedback if you ask them. People want to give their opinion. We all do. We're all opinionated, right? We could agree on that. Everybody has an opinion about something. So ask their opinion. Use those questions if you'd like. I'm going to repeat them again just to kind of go through them super fast for those of you that had writer's cramp. You ready? First one that I love is ease of scheduling appointments. Ease of scheduling appointments. Return phone calls in a timely manner. Wait time to see the practitioner. Cleanliness of the office. Staff professionalism. Knowledge of the staff. Convenience of payment. Appointment availability. Convenient appointment times. Practitioner professionalism. Communication by the staff. Quality of care. Overall experience. Then you're going to choose four or five of those or whatever's relevant for your practice. Leave a comment box. And then at the bottom, you put your home run question, which is, how likely are you to refer your family and friends to our practice or to our clinic? You can word it like that. Some people word it, would you refer? I don't like that because it's a yes or no. I want them to give me a likely score on a 1 to 5. How likely are you to refer your family and friends to our practice? Give them a 1 to 5 and fingers crossed, friend, that you're going to get a bunch of 4s and 5s. That's what we want. But it really is a great way for you to see how well you're doing. So a couple final comments. Number one, don't rush the process. Don't decide today that you're going to create a patient satisfaction survey and then send it out by the end of the day. You're not going to have thoughtful questions. Like if you have a staff, get with your staff and ask them. If you had to say that something's not working here, what would it be? And if you tell me, no, everything's working perfectly, sorry, love you, but you got blinders on. Because there's no practice that's perfect. And there's it's impossible that you can't improve. No one ever reaches perfection like that. There's always a place where you can improve. And if you say, no, everything's working perfectly, I would probably go to the mat with you on that and say, hey, yeah, I probably bet there's not things that are going well. You just have your head in the sand thinking that everything's perfect because you don't want to see it, maybe. So there's that. All right. So don't rush it. Just be thoughtful with it and then pick your 4 or 5 things very, very, very intentionally, very thoughtfully. Be clear about what you want to know. So do that kind of evaluation. Get with your staff or ask your spouse, or if you're a solo practitioner, just think about it. Like, what things are feeling hitchy to me? And get that feedback. And then don't ask yes or no questions. Remember, we just want them to rate on a 1 to 5. 1 to 5. That's it. And then most importantly, keep them simple. Don't ask big elaborate questions. Remember, we want people to engage with the survey. We want them to take action, do it quickly, because we want the information back so we can make good changes, right? We want to do our thing and do it even better. So that's it for the podcast today. I hope you're having an awesome day. I can't wait to connect with you at some point in the future. You can find me on Mighty Networks. If you need clinical help, I'm active over there. I have a private group there that's off Facebook intentionally. So there's a clinical group over there. We talk about all things that would otherwise be censored on Facebook, which is nice. You do have to have a practice in order to be in. So we do vet very thoroughly. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a business group, which is Grow Your Wellness Business with Rhonda Nelson. You can find me over there, but otherwise I'll be around. Take care, my friend. Thanks for being a very loyal podcast listener. I love doing the Clinical Entrepreneur podcast for you every single week. So take care, have a great one, and I'll be back with you next week. Bye for now.